Welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. This is the space where we create meaningful conversations around supplier diversity, diverse business entrepreneurship, and diversity, equity, and inclusion with some of the industry's most engaging and successful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts. Now, let's get started with today's episode.
Hello, I'm Tanya Isley, the publisher of MBE Magazine, and welcome to another episode of Diversity Discourse. We're going to do something a bit different in this episode. Previously, I introduced you to Allison Tate, a certified financial planner and wealth building expert, as well as a new member of our MBE Magazine team. Well, today I'm stepping back and I'm turning over the hosting duties to Allison, and she's going to be talking about retirement planning for small business owners with her guest, Rick Taylor. As I mentioned, Allison provides content to our print magazine, our website, here on Diversity Discourse, and in her dedicated newsletter, Money Mindset. And that focuses on financial topics for diverse business owners. You can sign up for Allison's biweekly financial tips by visiting our website at mbemag.com. And now I'm going to get out of the way and let Allison take over. But first, we're going to hear from this episode's sponsor, Comcast Rise. Comcast Rise is supporting the growth of all small businesses and entrepreneurs committed to uplifting their local communities. This Women's History Month, we honor the resilience, creativity, and innovation of women entrepreneurs who inspire us every day. Comcast Rise, which stands for Representation, Investment, Strength, and Empowerment, is a grant program built to help businesses and their communities thrive with a focus on economic growth. Comcast has developed an interactive map of RISE recipients in your community to make it easy to find Comcast RISE businesses near you. Go to www.comcastrise.com or click the link in the caption and show your support today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to today's episode of Money Mindset. This is actually the first foray of the Diversity Discourse Money Mindset podcast series, when I'm very excited about it. And I'm more excited about our topic today and our special guest. Just by way of quick background about today's piece, I published an article in MBE Magazine discussing how you should begin the year with the end in mind, which really identified five things that business owners should do in the first quarter of the year to set them up for success. And those five things were: create business goals and track them, get your financial books in order, create a strategy to pay less in taxes, and set up a team of advisors. The last one is actually to maximize your retirement contributions, which is really going to be the focus of today's episodes. And I think it's super important because I've worked with a lot of business owners, and 90% of them share the same commonality. They tend to pay themselves last, which is understandable because you have to, you know, pay your vendors, pay your employees, pay your contractors, pay your own bills, pay your mortgage. And by the time that you do all of those things, it could feel like there is nothing left. But on the other hand, I have a lot of business owners complain about taxes and why their tax bill keeps growing. And, you know, it's hard to keep expensing your business into a loss every year, which is what a lot of people want to do. They kind of just go on these spending sprees where they'll buy a year's worth of toilet paper and, you know, in hopes to save on their tax bill, which works, like you use it, but by the time you dispose of it, it's gone. Like there's no other value. There's no future value from that toilet paper. And I really want business owners to really start switching their mindset from, you know, trying to expense everything away to really invest in themselves and their future, because that's why we're in business in the first place. You took a bet on yourself to create this legacy for yourself and your family. You owe it to yourself and those coming behind you to make sure that you're doing all that you can for your financial future. So I want to dive deep into retirement plans. And to help me with that conversation, I have brought in an expert in this space who I admire dearly. Ricky Taylor, who is with Retirement Plan Consultants, will help lead the conversation today. Ricky, do you want to give a quick introduction?
Well, I was hoping, you know, you would just keep going, talk about, you know, how we met, how long we've been hanging out and all the good things that we're doing. But I mean, if I have to do it myself, I guess I will.
Go for it.
So my name is Ricky Taylor. I am, again, like you said, with Retirement Plan Consultants. That is all that I do. Okay. I call myself a 401k super consultant, right? Because there's so much that you need to pay attention to. And I find that I'm saving a lot of people, a lot of business owners from crazy situations that they've been in terms of how their plan was set up and things that they are not really paying attention to. So Ricky Taylor, 401k super consultant at your service.
I love it. I love it. I guess we should also add, I consider you like my big brother. So I'm like super excited to have you on this first episode with me.
Stop. You got me over here blushing and, you know, people can't see us, but I am smiling from ear to ear. So thank you so much, Allison.
Of course, of course. So let's just dig right in. What are some of the benefits of offering a retirement plan to employees and how does it impact the business?
That's actually a really good question to start off with. I think the first thing most business owners think about is how am I going to take care of my employees? How am I going to attract quality employees that are going to stay with me for as long as they can, right? And employees are smart. You know, the first thing most of the employees talk about is, well, what type of benefits do you have? Health benefits. Then it trickles down to retirement plan benefits. Because I think now with all the information that's out there coming from great advisors like yourself, doing podcasts and things on social media, I think employees are realizing, hey, there's a great opportunity for quote unquote free money. Okay. That's money coming from the employer. And as they understand what that means and how they can achieve it, of course, they are going to ask the question to the employer, well, what type of retirement plan do you have? So if you're asking about the benefits of setting up a plan from the employer's perspective, it's absolutely going to be to attract and retain quality employees. In addition to that, I mean, even for themselves, you know, the retirement plan can be an overall part of the financial plan as a whole. Okay, when you look at it holistically, you've got risk planning, tax planning, estate planning, investment planning, retirement planning, right? So this actually helps to play a part in that retirement planning aspect of a business owner's overall financial plan. If I could lean on you a little bit, because you are a CFP, right? So yes. You could even speak more to why that's important and how it fits in the overall financial plan. So those that are listening, yeah, there's a lot about why you should start a plan, how you should keep a plan, the important reasons for, you know, getting this plan going that Allison and I are going to talk about. And I think trying to just keep it simple, Allison, is the most important thing because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times I say to people, well, I mean, I've been doing this for 25 years. You know, you and I could probably talk circles around people, but what good is that going to do, right? Clients want to understand, are you here to help me, right? Can you help me? I don't want to hear a bunch of industry jargon. Let's just get to the meat and potatoes of what you can do for me and how it's going to benefit me. Okay. So I think I'm gonna pause there for a second to see if there's anything that you want to add, you know, again, from an advisor's perspective, a certified financial planner that I might be missing.
You're not missing anything. You hit all of the major points about establishing a retirement plan. I think for me, because I work with so many business owners, yes, it's important to, you know, attract good talent and you want to have a good, you know, benefits package for them. But I'm also going to always side on the side of my client who is the business owner, which means I need you to be a little bit selfish. Like, part of the reason like you're creating these plans is for yourself, right? You need to have your own way to fund your own retirement. You cannot finance your retirement. You cannot, you know, put it on a credit card. It doesn't work that way. It's really up to you in these prime earning years for you to, you know, stuff as much cash away as you can. And I think just because there isn't enough knowledge around the different retirement vehicles, or at least maybe the, actually, correction, there's a lot of information. There is so much information, it can just make your eyes glaze over. And so you might have considered starting one of these plans in the past, started to do a little bit of research and said, okay, this is too much, it's too overwhelming. I'll just go expense whatever you need to reduce your tax bill. But I really want us to approach it differently to say, okay, let's really try to understand how we can leverage these plans, because while you are paying yourself and saving for retirement, you're reducing your tax bill at the same time. And you can be reducing your personal tax bill and your company's tax bill by contributing to some of these plans. And I think it's kind of like this, you know, this double or this magnified tax benefit that I really want business owners to understand that's possible in leveraging one of these retirement plans.
Allison, you're absolutely right. You know, from a tax savings perspective to the business, right now, you kind of have two different options. You can take a tax deduction, all right, and that deduction is up to 25% of eligible compensation, or depending on how many employees you have, take the tax credit. Okay, you certainly cannot take both of them in the same year. So, I mean, let's be clear about that. It's the deduction or the credit, one or the other. And typically, this is where, you know, you would incorporate the CPA to kind of ask which option makes most sense, right? We can run through the tax deduction formula and figure out what that looks like versus whatever the tax credit is, again, based on how many employees the business owner has. The way I normally structure it or explain it, it's either you're giving money away to the government, paying taxes, or you can fund the retirement plan. Yeah, you're going to pay some taxes, but it's going to be reduced, right? And the reduction helps, and now you're giving more to either yourself or to your employee. So it's kind of a win-win situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we just talked about, you just talked about the credits or the benefits from a tax perspective from a 401k plan, which is probably, you know, one of the, it's the most popular plan that most business owners would be looking at. Is there an appropriate size of a business in which a 401k plan makes the most sense?
You know, from a consultative perspective, I like to have the conversation with the business owner to kind of understand what can they afford first, okay? So for instance, if you're a new business and maybe you have three employees, but you're saying, well, I'm not going to be able to afford to defer the maximum amount. Like for right now, 2024, the maximum amount is $23,000. If the business owner is not capable of funding the full contribution of $23,000, I'm going to look at something else and kind of scale back, right? At the end of the day, we do not want the retirement plan to scare the business owner. You know, at the end of the day, we want to put something in place that's going to attract and retain quality employees, provide a good tax benefit, provide contribution capability. So it all depends, again, Allison, on the business owner's size and how much they're capable of putting away. I mean, we may think about a simple IRA, right? I'm going to consult personally on all of the plans, again, based on what the owner can afford to do. So with the simple IRA, there's no administrative fee. The contribution amounts are less. It's a smaller burden, if you will, than the 401k. But eventually that simple IRA is going to be ready to graduate to a 401k and we'll be right there to service them, right? Or maybe it's a solo practice whereby the business owner is making a ton of money, but they don't have any employees. We could consider a SEP IRA, right? It's 100% employer funded and you still get the tax benefits. So I think the best way to explain or answer this question is we really want to consult with the business owner to see what they're capable of contributing. And that's going to kind of dictate where we go, meaning what type of plan, again, whether it's a simple, a SEP, or a full-blown 401k.
Got it. So if I were a business owner and said, I'm ready to start thinking about some form of a retirement plan, whether it be for myself or for my business, how does one even go about setting up a plan? Let's just talk about the 401k, for example. Let's just say we've already met, we've determined based upon my fact pattern in my business that a 401k is the route that I want to go. How do we even go about setting it up? And like, what are some of the, like at a very high level, what are some of the associated costs that I need to be mindful of?
Yes, yes. All right. So Ricky, don't get granular. from a very high level, we'll need to gather as much information as possible so that we can build the adoption agreement. The adoption agreement, in my terminology, I call it the Bible of the retirement plan. It gives you all the do's and don'ts and, you know, allowables and non-allowables that go on within the plan. And not only that, it's a binding contract between the Department of Labor and the client. It's what allows the plan to be a qualified plan. Okay. So once we gather all the information and we build the adoption agreement, we build all of the service agreements and all of the contracts. So again, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not involving the client in until it's time to execute signatures, right? Once all of that is done, now we have to do the enrollment meeting. We have to educate the business owner as well as the staff on exactly what this plan offers, how to enroll, how to get online, and just literally how the plan works, right? Once that part's done, now they're ready to invest. That's where you come in as the investment advisor, because now you're helping them decide how to allocate their funds, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing that I'll say is, with the retirement plan, I think we'll find it's most people's first full interaction with a financial professional as well as investing, right? Because when you think about a company makeup, you might have some new folks coming out of college who may or may not have experienced investing before, but now they have you as the professional advisor to help them, you know, understand how to allocate. You might have some seasoned employees. Yeah, maybe they had some experience, but now, again, they're relying on you to help them allocate that. So from a very high level, plan setup worksheet to build the adoption agreement, enrollment meeting, start investing, call Allison.
Yes.
All right. Was there a second part to that question?
Yeah, I guess basically, if I were a business owner, I'd want to know how much is this going to cost me? And again, I don't want you to go into specifics and maybe not even about the plan itself, but maybe just some averages either for the industry or maybe just like some ancillary things, because there are a lot of pieces that go into, you know, creating this full-blown retirement plan.
I would agree. There are certainly a lot of pieces. And, you know, one of the things that I like to do right up front is talk about what the costs are, right? Because one, I'm not going to say it's not cheap, but it's also not very costly, especially now with Secure 2.0, there are plan startup tax credits. Okay. So before it was $500 per year for 3 years, you take that right off the top. It's a credit. Now, depending again on how many employees you have, it's like $250 per non-highly compensated employee. So that helps, but I am going to say this, and I don't want people to yell at me. if you're worrying about the cost as opposed to the benefit, maybe we shouldn't be talking about setting up a plan just yet.
You're right.
Because at the end of the day, there's always going to be a cost to pay for a service. And, you know, offering this professional service, yes, there's a cost. So let's talk about what the costs are. I'll give you averages, all right? There's going to be a plan setup cost. That's to get the plan started, building the documents and things of that nature. Typically, that's around $1,500 to $2,000. And then your annual administration, which encompasses all of the compliance testing, all of the consultation, even the preparation of the tax return for the retirement plan, which is called the 5500. On annual administration, you could be looking at, again, $1,500 to $2,000, right? Mm-hmm. You'll have a per participant fee, which I would guesstimate on average, probably about $30 to $40 on average, right? And of course, there may be a record, there should be a record keeping fee. Record keeping fees keep track of everything that happens from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. We're literally keeping track of everything so it can be reported when we actually file the tax return for the plan. So first year cost, I would say roughly $3,000 to $4,000 on a setup. And then after that, you might be looking at $1,500 to $2,000.
Yeah, that's great compared to, you know, the benefit that you're really getting. And to your point, it really is about a mindset shift, right? It's a mindset shift of the business owner to say, like, this is not, yes, it's, there's a cost involved, but the benefit outweighs that cost, particularly when you're involved.
right, absolutely. So
I love that. So something I know that you do that others may not be aware of is you have this really great ability to analyze existing retirement plans of businesses, which I think is fantastic because as business owners, what you don't know can hurt you and it can cost you. So if you have an existing plan that you set up, let's just say you have an existing 401k today that you set up or any type of plan that maybe you did it a while ago, you weren't sure if you got the best guidance and support in making those decisions, because maybe you just called the first person and set up the plan. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, the service that you could offer to analyze an existing plan?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, I don't know if you mentioned it, but it is it's a free of charge service with the anticipation that, you know, if I can make this better, you're going to come on as a client. But, you know, to review the plan, we do not charge anything, right? Typically, I'm going to request the adoption agreement. As I mentioned earlier, that's the detailed legally binding document that says what a plan can and cannot do, right? If it was an older plan, I would even say more than 8 years ago, there are some things that we can do now that weren't implemented back then. So it might be beneficial to bring that plan up to speed. So grabbing the adoption agreement, I'm literally going to comb through all the details of the plan looking for inefficiencies, right? And again, I know we're going to keep this super high level, so I'm not going to mention what the inefficiencies are, but there are some key things that I'm looking for. I do like to make sure the client is aware of how much they're actually paying, right? Because a lot of times, again, if we go back 10 plus years ago, it was almost assumed that, hey, if you go this route, you're not going to be paying for this plan. The plan's going to pay for itself. Well, somebody's always going to get paid, right? And what I'm finding now is a lot of those plans were put in a situation where the investment fees were really, really high. And companies were taking some of those high investment fees and paying the third party administrator or paying the record keeper or paying the advisor, right? But now when you compare what we can do today, there's a tremendous savings. I mean, literally to the tune of, I'm thinking of a couple in my head. There was one I was able to save them almost $30,000. Another one, it was over $100,000. So my question to that person was, hey, why didn't you review this plan before? You know? So again, sometimes they feel if it's not broke, we're not going to fix it. I would say the other piece to the review is just doing an illustration. You know, again, if you've had a plan for a really long time and no one has taken the time to show you and tell you some of the new things that can be done, then there's a strong possibility that as a business owner, you're not capable of maxing out because your plan doesn't allow it. You didn't even know that you could put your employees as well as yourself in different categories or groups to give them different percentages of contribution, right? So that's one of the key things that I'm always looking for, to review the plan for inefficiency, do a cost comparison, as well as a design illustration.
Yeah, I love that. And just to echo your sentiment, you have saved clients thousands of dollars in these plans. So if you have a plan today, it is, and you're thinking your company is looking at where are we going to cut costs, right? Because every business owner is mindful of their overhead. Take a look at that existing retirement plan. Have someone analyze it, you know, have Ricky analyze it and see whether or not, you know, there are some cost savings there. And it's not just about the cost. It's also like if there's an enhancement in the value of the service that you're getting as well, which 9 times out of 10, there probably would be. All right. So let's talk about quickly again, what are some of the legal and fiduciary responsibilities of a business owner offering a retirement plan?
Oh, man, that is a phenomenal question. That term fiduciary, ooh, it's a biggie. Because, I mean, if you understand what if you understand what a fiduciary is, it gives you a lot of responsibility, right? It puts you in the quote unquote crosshairs of legalities. So when you think about the business owner is always 100% a fiduciary of their business because they're the ones capable of hiring and firing the people to do the work or the service providers, right? If you look at how we structure our investment fiduciary, we're selecting the investments, the portfolio. We're benchmarking and monitoring all of these funds every single quarter. In the eyes of the Department of Labor, they simply want to understand, do you have a process in place for selecting and monitoring the funds that are in the plan? Okay, so for instance, I'm not going to name any company names, but you know, there are a few companies out there who have a platform and they also have their own investments. And they say, well, if you're going to use our platform, then you must use our investments also. And that's not necessarily the best thing to do because maybe their investments are not the best investments for this plan, right? So now participants are getting wise to this and they're reaching out to the Department of Labor and saying, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but I think you guys need to look into this. And then plans are getting sued. Okay. So again, from the fiduciary perspective, it's exceptionally important to understand what your role as a fiduciary is, what your responsibilities are, and how you can even outsource some of those responsibilities to take that, take the crosshairs off of you. Okay. So I would say having a conversation with the investment advisor to understand what can be offered from a fiduciary perspective is greatly important.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So shifting gears a bit, let's talk about employer establishes this plan. Sometimes like getting employees to participate can be a little bit challenging because there tends to be a gap in just their level of, you know, just financial knowledge and financial literacy. How can a business owner effectively communicate the value of a retirement plan to employees? You can answer and then I'll answer.
Great. Right. I love this. One, from the business owner's perspective, putting out the information stating, hey, I am setting up this plan for you as my employee. I want to make sure you're capable of having a vehicle to save for retirement because, I mean, again, we don't know what's going to happen with things in the future. So that's the first thing, making sure we have the business owner's buy-in to mention to the staff, you guys want to take advantage of this because I'm offering it. I would say, two, As I mentioned earlier, a lot of times the retirement plan is a person's first interaction with investing or with a professional financial person. So it would be up to us, frankly, to educate each employee on the benefits of having this plan and what it can do for them, right? Mm-hmm. I have a couple of different charts that I show showing a small contribution amount coming from the employee, a small match coming from the employer, and what those dollars look like based on, you know, the percentage of compound investing, what those dollars look like in 20, 30, 40 years, right?
Yeah.
I think when you're capable of showing what could be, that's kind of what gets people more interested and excited. Now, I will tell you, Allison, I get this a lot. Well, Rick, I don't think I can afford to participate. Yes. And I start asking questions, Allison, like, all right, not to pick on Starbucks. You know, my daughter works at Starbucks and I love her. But I did go in and I did not get the discount. And my drink was like $8. I got some kind of cappuccino, frappuccino. It was $8. And I almost said no, I didn't want it. But think about it like this. You have a lot of people who drink Starbucks. And again, nothing against Starbucks. But if you're saying you can't afford to participate in your retirement plan, but yet you're drinking Starbucks every work day, which is 5 days a week, some of us six or even seven, right? If you multiply those days by the $5 average cup of coffee, you multiply that by the month, I'm confident we can find some dollars if you scale back your Starbucks by 50%. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. If you're not a coffee drinker, but you're a streamer and you've got 10 different streaming platforms and you only watch two. So that gives us eight different streaming platforms that we can cut out and save some dollars to put into the retirement account. Now, again, it's not going to get you to the maximum, but every little bit helps.
It does. And that DoorDash, cut out that DoorDash, turn off the Postmates. Oh, no, this is a big one. Turn off the Amazon One Click. That'll save your life.
Oh, man, I don't even know what that is. What is the Amazon One Click?
So basically, if there's something you see on Amazon, you don't even have to put it in your cart. You can just click a button and it'll buy it right then and there.
Let me make sure I'm not subscribed to that. I'm searching Amazon all the time for things and I don't recall seeing it. Nothing has ever come to me that I didn't want, but let me just pay attention.
You can disable it, but you don't know how many times I've had a client come to me saying that one click gets them every single time because they don't have to think about whether they really want this or if they need it. They are just pressing the button and it's done.
Oh,
and then the boxes come, they get piled up in a corner in your house. You don't even open them for weeks. You don't even remember what you ordered. But all that money has been spent. I cannot tell you how many times I have had someone say that to me. All right, but I digress. All those examples that you gave are really true. I also think it's super important to understand the importance of compounding. And you don't even really have to understand what it means. You just have to understand that the more time you have your money invested in the stock market, the bigger your returns could be. And you could start off investing, you know, that $100, that $1,000, whatever it is. And just, it's literally like you want to put the money in, shut down your app to look at how much money is in the account, like close it, come back in 10 years. Just look at it. And if you're not going to retire, close it. Come back another 10 years. Yes. Peek at it. I bet you will be amazed at how much that money, that small amount of money that you started with, has grown. So people who say, what can $100 do? What can $50 do? What can $1,000 do? It will do a lot more for you in the future than not investing. I promise you, when you are older and you're trying to figure out how you're going to go on vacation with your family. How are you going to put a new roof over your head? You know, the roof is leaking. How are you going to repair the roof? The furnace is going out. Like, how are you going to buy a new car? If you just turned to that investment account and said, oh, that $1,000 I put in 20, 30 years ago is now the source of cash I'm using for something that I need in the future.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like that's when people really see the true value of investing, but also recognizing, like, I have some other people who will say, to your point, like, I can't afford to save because every dollar I have goes out in the form of a bill. And I will say this, it's not about how much money you make, it's really about how much money you keep. Mm-hmm. And as people, we will figure out a way to live on what we have. So you put that 1% or whatever the amount is, you know, into that 401k, just contribute and forget about it. Whatever your paycheck is when you get it, spend everything that's in it. I don't care, because you've already paid yourself first. And that's what matters the most. You will figure out how to spend what's left. You will then make decisions and trade-offs in your own mind, whether or not you want to buy, you know, the lobster seafood tower, or you just want to get the smaller seafood boil. Like, you will make the trade-off based upon the money that's left in your bank account. We do it every single day.
Yes,
so pay yourself first. You will figure out how to live on the rest, I promise you. And either you're paying yourself or you're paying Uncle Sam. Which one?
Bingo. There it is. There it is. Wow.
All right. I've said That's a lot funny. There.
That's funny. Really, I really do like the lobster tower or the lobster boil reference. Because, you know, I'm a foodie. I'm also an amateur chef.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that I pride myself on, is not going out to eat much, because I can buy it and cook it and save myself a ton of money. All right.
There you go.
And I'm in the comfort of my own home, so I don't have to travel anywhere. So again, those of you who are out there restauranting it up, start cooking, buy your food, save some Please. Money and cook.
All right. Well, you know what? I think that is a perfect way to end. This has been a phenomenal conversation. I truly appreciate you for joining me today. So for all of the business owners listening out there who either have a retirement plan today or are thinking about getting one, if you don't have one, you really should have one. How can they contact you directly?
Absolutely. A few different ways. Email is Ricky, RickieT, so RickieT, at wealthfirm.info, INFO. Phone number is 215-608-4557. Feel free to search me out on LinkedIn. I think I'm calling myself a 401k super consultant, all right? So you can find me there. That's pretty much it. Or they can always go through you, Allison. So, you know, you got to plug your information. People can reach out to you, and then we can service.
Yeah, that's right. So you will need a financial advisor to kind of coordinate the retirement plan. So you kind of need Ricky and I on your team of advisors. So to reach me, I'm at, so my firm is Avery Wealth Management. You can, the website is averewealth.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Allison Tate. And if you come through the website, you can actually schedule a meeting to just have a call. It is free. It is always free to talk. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about the retirement plan process, or just saving for the future, saving on taxes. You name it. I am the person for you.
Fantastic. Wow. This is awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Ricky. I really appreciate it.
No, Allison, thank you for having me. And shout out to your audience out there. Looking forward to doing this again, because there is a lot more that we can talk about, okay, in regard to retirement plans. I mean, we might even be able to do a full session on cash balance plans and what that looks like for the high earning business owner.
Yeah, because that's a good one, because that's an excellent way that business owners can stuff more cash away for retirement. It has a phenomenal value for long-term planning purposes.
So remember I mentioned, you know, doing a cash balance segment. There's so much more that you can add to that. For instance, now you can start a plan after the year has ended, right? You can start a 401k plan. You can do profit sharing after the year. You can do cash balance after the year. So if people are late in getting started, I mean, we're not going to hold it against them. Of course, we'd rather them get started sooner, but if it happens, we can still accommodate them, right? So I think putting out the information of, you know, if your year is over and you've had a conversation with your CPA and your CPA said, oh my gosh, you need to get something started for tax purposes, it's not too late.
So are you saying that I could actually open a 401k in March of 2024 for 2023?
As long as you haven't closed out 2023, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that is good to know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, when is there an ideal time to start? Because don't you want to give yourself time to contribute to the plan throughout the year and get your employees on board?
Yeah. So the ideal time is to start the plan 1/1 of that year, right? If it's a calendar year plan, so that you have the entire year to defer, okay? And depending on how the plan is set up, the plan may look at the entire year's worth of compensation, or it might look at maybe half the year of when the plan started. So if the plan started in, like, let's say June, you now only have from June until December to calculate your deferral to get that in. You can still do the 23,000, but it's going to be a bigger nut to crack as with each pay period. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm being mindful of, right? Because as a business owner, like, cash is king, right? And so like, not every month, you know, the business might be cash flowing in a way that you can, you know, do that maximum deferral as you would want. And so that's why in my head, I'm just thinking you want to do it sooner rather than later, which is why I think this is something business owners might want to tackle, you know, in Q1. Would you agree?
I would agree wholeheartedly, you know. Again, the sooner the better. So,
and how long does it even take to put one of these 401k plans in place?
I'm going to use us. We are 6 to 8 weeks. There are a couple of firms out there that can potentially do it a little faster. Faster is not better. It all depends on, are they doing a customized plan design or are they pulling something off the shelf and giving you a cookie cutter design?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm all about I like custom.
Right.
I customize all my clients' financial plans to their unique needs. Like, no plan will look like the other. Mm-hmm. I would want a custom designed 401k for my business.
Right. And I mean, again, obviously that's what we do. That's how we do it. But 6 to 8 weeks is our typical time frame.
Okay. So that's not bad at all.
No, okay. It's not bad.
Really, most of the work isn't on the business owner, right? It's kind of on you and your team.
Right. And I would say it's all about communication as well. If we communicate to the client what the timeline is, the expectation can be controlled, right? Mm-hmm. Now, yes, if I say, give me a couple of weeks and it takes 6 to 8, now the client has a right to be upset. You know, but as long as we're communicating and setting the expectation, I think we can always control that narrative.
Excellent. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ricky. Have a good day.
Thanks, Allison. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. We hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to subscribe so that we can join you again. For more tips and notes from the show, check us out at mbemag.com. And to find out which guests and topics we'll be discussing next, sign up for our newsletter at mbemag.com/pulse. That's mbemag.com/pulse. We'll talk to you next time.